The following is a best of front page from Thursday, April 7th of this year here on WWIB and WIB.com. We know it's an election year. There'll be another primary come August and another general election, a huge one, on November 8th. But while we've dealt with politics and hopefully sometimes the issues that go with it, what about if you lift up the manhole cover? What's underneath that? When you talk about the concerns, the problem, the pains and the hurts we've got in life, I mean, how much can politics help? Some, certainly, but so much, it seems to me, as a talk show host, producer, news director, and radio broadcaster here at WWIB and WOGO, so much of it is about what's on the outside. But what about the inside? And what about those hurts and pains? And a lot of times we maybe look to numb that with addictions of one sort or another, either negative addictions, drugs, alcohol, sex, gambling, whatever. Or maybe addictions that people applaud, like workaholism. But what drives the addiction? Today, we tackle that this hour, talking about the five-letter word of shame. In her brand new book, Overcomer, Aubrey Sampson talks about demolishing the seven lies of shame. She specifically targets women. But also with us in studio is Ed Ramsey, retired founder of First Things First Counseling Clinic in Eau Claire. The clinic goes on, but Ed, in his retirement, talks about some of the challenges he's faced in this regard, how he's found help and hope and healing and been able to, by God's grace, pass that on to many, many others over the years. So, tackling shames, that's our intention, starting here on Front Page and WIB and WIB.com. First of all, by phone with us is Aubrey Sampson. We've been trying to get this interview for quite a while, haven't we, Aubrey?
And we have. I'm glad it's worked out today, Mark.
Yeah, me too. Aubrey's in the Chicago area. She's passionate about empowering women of all ages to experience freedom from shame. She's an author, speaker, and church planter. She and her husband, Kevin, living in the Chicagoland area. She's mom to three young sons, and which is to say she spends most of her days drinking too much coffee, she says. You can learn more at AubreySampson.com. That's AubreySampson.com. All right, and also Ed Ramsey is with us. I mentioned the founder of First Things First and have moved on from that now into retirement, Ed. But also, you and I have known each other for many years. You've been to on the air with us in the past, but today is a noteworthy anniversary in your story and your journey and your life, isn't it, Ed? Tell us about that.
This is correct.
Why is that?
Well, it's been 45 years, if you can believe it. That just means I'm old.
Yeah, yeah. Right? Late 60s. Right?
Yeah, right.
But 45 years ago, what happened?
Well, 45 years ago, I was, I'm from Virginia originally, down to Shenandoah and Blue Ridge. And I was back from Vietnam, not that long. And I was going to school at Virginia Commonwealth in Richmond, was married, had a daughter who was 23 months old, and I was working to support myself in college. I worked in South Richmond in Federal Housing Project, supervising the playground and coaching and things of that nature. I always wanted to be a coach. That was my goal in life.
So you really loved sports? You were athletic? Okay.
Yeah, I was athletic. I was in good shape. And my reason for going to school was so I could get a degree and teach and coach sports. And I went to work that night. And came home 3 months later in a wheelchair. So you just never know.
You went to work that night, and what was the job?
I was supervising playground.
Yeah.
Out in projects of South Richmond.
So what could happen? So how does a guy come home in a wheelchair from that? All right, so that story will unfold this hour here on WWIB and WIB.com. And also, Aubrey, congratulations on your beautiful book, Overcomer, Breaking Down the Walls of Shame and Rebuilding Your Soul. And this book has been out since the fall, so we've been pursuing you as a guest. But you're very open, very real in your book as well about how that shame came into your life, Aubrey.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. And Ed, thanks for sharing your story. Can't wait to hear more about it. My story was about being sexually assaulted as a young teenager. I was 13 years old on a school bus. And I talk about how, that day, it wasn't just the assault that invaded my life. It was shame because the boys that did it, I had crushes on them. I liked them. They were the older, cool boys on the bus. And so I began to believe, you know, at a very young age that what happened was my fault, and that shame, that feeling of, you know, I'm not good enough, that began to really project a lot into my life and really affected how I lived the rest of my life until I was in my early 20s. And so I write about and I talk about that in the book.
And again, you know, so that, and I think there may be other instances, but Ed, these things happen in our lives when we're helpless as young people. A lot of times it could come at the hand of a parent, a step parent, a neighbor, a relative, right? In this instance, boys on a school bus. And it creates this damage to our identity, how we think of ourselves, how we see ourselves, carry that into adulthood, right?
This is true. I think the big three are shame, grief, and trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime you've been traumatized or abused, what we tend to do is blame ourselves and think, what did I do wrong? Or I should have handled it better. I should have handled it different.
Mm-hmm.
And when we start to do that, we take a situation where we're feeling guilty. And once we internalize it, now we're feeling shame. I go from maybe what I did was bad that I'm bad for doing it.
Sure.
And like I've been told, if you do something bad, there's a way out.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are bad, there's no way out.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and that's why shame is so toxic and so insidious and so difficult. There are ways to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Audrey, you talked about some ways in your book that were excellent. I want to give you some feedback on that.
Oh, thanks, Ed.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
And go ahead.
No, so as we look at a two-hour journey here on WIB and then later on WOGO and interacting with listeners along the way at 723-2555, 1-800-657-4769, and email mark@wib.com. You know, we want to initially cast kind of a wide expanse in terms of definition and in terms of the problems, the hardships, the difficulties. And when you talk about the sexual abuse, both for you as well as the others who have faced that. I mean, we know about for men and for women, but particularly for women, right, Aubrey? I mean, and your book is targeted toward women. And are there other ways that that shame comes into their life beyond sexual abuse? Certainly, that is a very prevalent way.
You know, I think what's interesting about shame is it really does encompass this huge range of emotions. You know, you almost have to have, like, a scale of ways to define it, because you can experience shame on the smaller side of the scale where maybe you have felt embarrassed and you felt like you're a little self-conscious, and because of that you can start feeling like, oh, I don't matter, I don't belong, I'm always going to struggle with this. But then on the other hand, you can feel shame when you have been humiliated or you feel inadequate or you have been abused or you have been through trauma, like Ed said. And the difficulty about shame is that so many of us live under the weight of it without even realizing it, right? Because we've been conditioned to just accept that it's normal to feel like we don't measure up, we're not enough, we're not good enough. I think, you know, at its core, whether or not you've been sexually abused, whether or not you've had trauma, any of us who can relate to that feeling of either all of us or part of us are not enough. And like Ed said, if we begin to internalize that, that's when it turns into shame, and that's when it becomes really toxic.
Yeah. We've each got stories to share, and we hope that our listeners will share theirs with us here this hour on WWIB and WIB.com. Let me jump in a little bit with mine, and the listeners familiar with me, I've been doing this show for a while. But even as you talk there, Aubrey, it brings up for me, I remember with my wife, probably when we were still dating, just the idea, like, for years, as an adult child of alcoholic or the home that I came out of, and Ed, you've known me, we've talked about this for many years. I mean, the idea, I felt like there was a giant less than sign, if we can go back to our math training, right? I mean, greater than and less than, and, you know, just living with that less than, I mean, just when you say that, I know exactly, that's a feeling I lived with for years. But Ed, can you relate, or folks you've talked with about that?
I think that's exactly, we feel defective, like we're not enough. We feel like that we're bad, that we're just not enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, can you amplify on that, Aubrey?
You know, I think that's, again, that's the difficulty with shame, is that you feel like You're unworthy. You feel like you won't be forgiven. You feel like you're always going to struggle with something. Something's wrong with you. And the hard part is the things we're talking about now. I mean, Ed, you were injured. And then, Mark, your parents were alcoholics. For me, it was another person. We're experiencing secondhand shame, right? This is at the hand of other people. And yet for us, a lot of us, it sounds like, grew up feeling like this was somehow our fault or our responsibility.
Yeah, I think there's my dad, by the way, he was in fairness to my mom, she wasn't. But yeah, my dad. And so I think that in your case, even Aubrey, can you unpack for us a little bit more? You had this happen. I mean, how did you deal with it? And how did that haunt you over the years? I mean, now, yes, you're on the radio and you're the author of a book, Overcomer, Breaking Down the Walls of Shame and Rebuilding Your Soul. But I got to think there were, you know, years where you were plagued by this and haunted by it.
I think that the surprising thing for me, and I'll just be really vulnerable with you guys because that's what we're here to talk about, was that you would think an experience like that would have me sort of running in the opposite direction from men. But instead, it just awakened kind of this really twisted side of me that wanted more and more male attention. And so at a very young, early age, I began just seeking attention from guy after guy after guy after guy. And you can imagine how, you know, healthy that was. And when I was 17 years old, when I was 17, I worked at a restaurant and I had a boss there who I was allowing to lock me in his office and take advantage of me sexually, again, as a minor. And so I think about, for me, part of the issue was I never talked about what happened on the bus. I internalized it. I thought it was my fault. And because I never shared about it, I really allowed it to shadow my life in this very, very powerful way until, like I said, I was 17. And I was, to me, that was kind of the culmination of my shame, allowing this relationship to happen and not talking about it. And really, it wasn't until I went away to college, it wasn't until I moved away from those relationships and those experiences, began to get some space from it, that I began to realize, hey, something really powerful has impacted my life, and it has controlled the trajectory of it. It controlled a lot of my relationships and my self-esteem, and I have got to get some help.
Mm. You know, it's something that's interesting when you have a shame-based personality. On some level, you feel like you're bad, and our culture teaches us that bad people deserve punishment. So I think a lot of times our behavior is a way of making sense out of that sense of badness and defectiveness. And we tend to wound ourselves the way we've been wounded. Because that's a way of saying, I don't like me very much. It's very subtle. But and the more we do that, the more we reinforce the shame and the self-contempt and the negativity, and it's a real vicious cycle. And a lot of addictive behavior, a lot of mental health issues, a lot of toxic relationships are grounded in that kind of a cycle, that kind of a situation. And the hardest part is recognizing, because we don't know what normal is. I grew up in a family where my parents are good people, but my mom grew up, when her mom died, my grandfather started drinking. He was an alcoholic, and so she never had parents and had to parent her brothers and sisters when she needed a mom. My dad grew up with my grandfather, who was very abusive physically and emotionally, so they both had abuse and trauma issues. And so I grew up around that, and they just couldn't give me what they didn't have. But when you're a kid, you need that, and you don't understand that. And so it's really hard to make sense out of it. And so when it's not there, because kids not only need food and water to survive, they need attention. And when they don't get that, they assume that whatever's wrong when the family's more important than they are.
And I think that's why Aubrey's book is so significant, because if in fact our parents were shamed, and they pass it on to us as their kids, if it doesn't stop with us, it'll just continue to perpetuate ad infinitum. And so it has to stop. And so, Aubrey, you said we might have thought otherwise in terms of your action or behavior out of that. And yet, ultimately, you did have a realization and awakening. And honesty, as we go to break here, I mean, that really is huge, isn't it? I mean, I think we can all agree there's a coming to light. There's an acknowledgement. There's coming out of the darkness into the light. And it is so, James 5:16, confess your sins, right?
to God, yes, but to somebody, and whether what you've been a part of or what's been done to you, more likely both. Don't you agree, Aubrey?
Absolutely. I think beginning to acknowledge your shame and then talking about it. Not that you have to talk about, you know, you don't have to go on the radio like this, but talk about it with someone safe in your life. That is one of the most powerful ways that I think God steps in and finally begins that process of setting you free.
Yeah, absolutely. Ed, you agree?
Yes, I agree. The way you heal shame is by exposing it in a safe place with safe peace. Once you get it out in the open, I use the analogy, it's like taking a glass of water and throwing it out on the hot pavement. It just dissipates. But once I can start doing that, then it starts to heal. And caring. Caring cures shame, too. So I need people in my life that's going to care about me in spite of what I've done a lot of times, and be able to hear it and validate that that was about something that was wrong and not about me being bad.
And again, that's a challenge sometimes in the church, to whatever degree we've been uncomfortable that, oh, that's a taboo subject or you can't. We need to talk about it. We need, in this sense, let me suggest the table needs to be tipped over. Ed, you're the one who years ago introduced me to the concept of rigorous honesty. And I have to say, our Saturday morning men's group that you and I are a part of in the lower level of WWIB Saturday morning at 6:30, Brothers in Brokenness, is about, yes, it's a faith-based element. We love God. The Bible's there. But it's as much begging, borrowing, and taking everything we can from the recovery and 12-step community and saying, we admire your honesty. We admire your realness. We acknowledge in the church we have not been as real and as honest as you have been in the recovery, in the 12-step community, and we want to learn from you and we want to imitate you. Don't you agree, Aubrey, that's necessary in the church?
Oh, I think that's honestly, like you said, if we could just knock the table over of the church in that area. Because the reality is, you know, statistics say that 80% of women feel unhappy with themselves. They feel ashamed. Statistics for men are coming out that are even higher, but because men haven't been empowered to talk about it, we're just sort of beginning to learn about this. And if the church would just create some, like, safe cultures of disclosure, safe places where we could say, listen, this is what we're all struggling with. Nobody is alone here. I think that would... it would bring healing.
Absolutely. Period. Well, we're doing it on this radio show. Ed, we do it on Saturday mornings at 6:30. You're a regular. I am, and it'll be this Saturday morning. Guys, a safe place to come. Bring your good, your bad, and your ugly. If you leave anything behind, it's the good, because I think the bad and the ugly need more talking about. More coming up. WWIB.
Truth is harder than a lie. The dark seems safer than the light. And everyone has a heart that loves.
On the search for an apartment? Contact Peters Rentals, a proven landlord with over 45 years of satisfied, secure tenants. As the owners, they take pride in their well-cared-for apartments. Call Peters Rentals, the responsible property owners.
Running a business means making every hour of every day count. DCS NetLink offers the solution, the Google Calendar app. With Google Calendar, you can share project calendars among team members, make appointment scheduling easier, and even send invites and manage RSVPs. Plus, you can access it from any web-enabled device. DCS NetLink can even schedule sessions to teach your staff all about it. Get the solution to making every hour count. See DCSNetLink.com.
When reading the war letters from their fathers, two young men find out that their fathers were friends. They meet and decide to visit The Wall, the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. They share a lot in common and learn that faith was not always a part of one of their father's legacy. During July 4th, suggested gift of $40 or more to the ministry, ask for the DVD Faith of Our Fathers, A Story of Fatherhood, A Journey of Brotherhood. Rated PG-13 for brief war violence, dub rated faith-friendly for kids 12 plus. Call, write, go online, or stop by.
I'm a mess and so are you. We've built walls nobody can get through. Yeah, it may be hard, but the best thing we could ever do, bring your brokenness and
if we're honest.
Front Page, WWIB. That is the unofficial theme song for our Brothers in Brokenness guys. Saturday mornings at 6:30, if we're honest. Don't you love that one, Ed?
Yeah. Great.
Francesca Battistelli. We're talking as well with Aubrey Sampson. Her book is Overcomer, Breaking Down the Walls of Shame and Rebuilding Your Soul. And in the book, Aubrey encourages women especially to carefully break down the walls of shame by dismantling seven lies that shame tells women. Instead of taking a wrecking ball to their lives, she guides the readers to gently deconstruct their shame while preserving the valuable and beautiful elements in order to rebuild their souls, and allows readers to take up space again in their lives to become overcomers. So we'll be unpacking that over this hour as well as next here on WIB and WIB.com, and then next hour after 11 on WOGO. So 2 hours, you know, we've been dealing with the superficial, kind of above the street, but lifting up the manhole cover and getting down and finding out what's beneath those problems. Rick is on the line in Cameron. Hey, Rick.
Yes. I just wanted to say, when I was in high school, I was on drugs and alcohol. My mother said to me, if I'd have known I was going to have you, I'd have had you aborted. And then when I was a boy, my dad, I didn't know this until I was at a Bible school, and I was going to let the cars run over me, and they brought me to the prayer room. And they said, what are you thinking of? Well, they're praying for me. I said, well, my dad is standing there in my kitchen, hitting and kicking my brother. My mother's standing there screaming, stop it, Vic, stop it. I had forgot all about that. But, you know, I think there's some suppressed memories that people just kind of black out. And sometimes prayer with people that are in Christian ministry or Christians, I think that's the way to kind of bring some of those things to light. I lived in Christian community for 11 and a half years. Youth of the Mission and Daystar Christian Ministries, and I got a lot of prayer, so I've got a lot of healing, but I thought someone else may could use from hearing this.
No, I appreciate you contributing. A reaction, Ed or Aubrey? Anybody? Aubrey?
I'm thankful that you shared that. I think you're right. I think there's a lot of people out there who are going to be encouraged by the fact that you just shared that story, as traumatizing as it is, and I don't know. I'm honored that you would call and you would talk about that. So
yeah.
I'm sorry that was your experience, but thank you.
I agree. That took a lot of courage, and I respect you for that. On the other hand, I heard a line once, a person told me that her parents were psychologically incapable of having kids. They were physically capable, and when you grow up with those kind of messages, you can't come out of that with a sense of self-esteem and value and worth. And so I think it's important to start to look at that and challenge it and reframe that. And there's a concept called reparenting, where you can go back in and access that little boy inside, mm-hmm. and reparent that little boy and help him understand that those messages wasn't about him being bad. It was about his parents having their own issues.
Well, I think it's just helpful to realize, because I don't know if you've had to do this in terms of your own journey, Aubrey, but to realize, certainly forgiveness, right? Whether it's your parents or whoever has perpetuated either verbal or physical or sexual abuse against you in a way that led to shame, right?
Yeah, I think for me, part of my healing process was meeting with a Christian counselor and going through a really intentional process of grieving, like you said, Ed, for that little girl inside of me who felt so mistreated, and kind of reparenting, retraining myself to replace all the lies I believed with the truth of who I am in Christ. And one of the things we were talking about was forgiveness. And part of that for me was both self-forgiveness, because I had placed so much blame on myself. And then, as difficult as it sounds, was forgiving those boys on the bus and later that older man at the restaurant where I worked. Now that doesn't mean I gave them permission or I told them it was okay to do what they did to me, but for me the process of forgiveness was a process of letting go, and like you said, Ed, the process of reparenting myself again.
I agree. Can I jump in? Go ahead. One of my early mentors, when I first started working, I started working out of graduate school with street drunks in Virginia, and they were tough guys. And had a friend that worked with me from upstate New York, and he'd grown up in a very abusive alcoholic family. And he told me once, he said, you know, Ed, I could never really accept myself or my family until I could forgive them for what they'd done to me. And he said, for me, that forgiveness came with the realization that there's nothing to forgive, that they had problems too. Like blaming a blind person for not being able to see. Mm-hmm. And when people, it's like a blind person calling you ugly to some extent. Once you put it in context, you can say, maybe I don't have to keep buying into that and using that to define myself.
I guess this, Easter was a short time ago. I mean, Jesus on the cross, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. I mean, certainly a lot of times I've thought of that for those who are doing that particular, nailing him to the cross. But I guess if you broaden it, that people in general don't know what they are blind, right? And so
that's what I would say.
We need the light to come on. All right, here's an email question, markatwib.com from Anonymous says, I heard someone say once that her husband has an addictive personality and he went from dependency to dependency on food, nicotine, etc. The listener's wondering, Ed, Aubrey, what do you think of that statement, the idea of addictive personality? Aubrey.
What do I say? I think Ed might be better to answer that. I feel like there are people with addictive personalities, but what is underneath the addiction?
Yeah, exactly. And this show is about...
You talked about that.
Yeah, I'd like to get to shame because addiction's out there. We recognize a lot of them. I said there's negative, harmful ones. There's other ones that people can applaud. I think workaholism is probably at the top of the list, but...
I think addiction can be a defense against and a way of making sense out of the shame. Mm-hmm. It can be a form of self-punishment. Plus, it distracts you from all that inner pain. I heard a person say once that spirituality is about having an inner life. And when I have a lot of shame, I can't be in me. So everything's an outer reach for inner security.
I think that is it. That is a huge insight, and I think you need to repeat that again.
Yeah.
Because I remember years ago you sharing that with me. I think that's really helpful. Don't you, Aubrey?
Ed, would you say that one more time?
Yeah, say it again.
I actually want to write it down.
Say it again, Ed.
Spirituality is about having an inner life, and when I've been wounded and I have a lot of shame and I'm an object of contempt of myself, I can no longer be in me. So everything's an outer reach for inner security. And so what we do is we set up an image. And I have a concept of image versus truth. And we get well around the truth. But the image fools a lot of people, and I think we can fool ourselves with it. And even with the addictive behavior, we can identify that, you know, that becomes who we are.
It makes so much sense is the fact that if I feel full of shame, I don't want to go inside of me. And yet, here's the thing, spirituality is an inside job. Jesus said, for instance, Luke 17, that the kingdom of heaven is within you. It's the within, right?
I agree. I think that's where we'll find God and spirituality is within us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. And that was part of how we were wired.
And this,
when God put us together.
And this idea of image versus truth, I mean, it was something that you had up on your office wall for many years there, Ed Ramsey, is the idea of people live from image, but we need to live from truth. And as we talk about this show as a reprieve from politics, nobody lives from image more than politicians,
can
right?
Say, yet, you can't see a better example of that than what we just went through.
And yet we all do that. All right, you can see why we're taking 2 hours to deal with this. We've barely scratched the surface on Aubrey's terrific book. You're going to want a copy of this. Email me, markatwib.com, with your address. We'll see to it that several of you get a copy of that. Also, questions and comments, welcome, 723-2555, 1-800-657-4769. We go back to the beginning of the Francesca Battistelli song as I accidentally pressed the button a moment ago. More coming up on Whip.
Truth is harder than a lie. The dark seems safer than the light. And everyone has a heart that loves to hide.
Send July out with a bang with a vehicle from Swankraber. 40 used cars are now priced at $99.95 or lower, making right now the right time to buy. See Swankraber Auto Group on Highway 8 in Barron.
Hi, this is Jerry Calouette, inviting you to join us on the Trail to Adventure this week as we'll be talking about how fearfully and wonderfully made we are and how we're without excuse when we're out in God's creation. Our guest is Dr. Richard Swenson, author of the book More Than Meets the Eye. And I promise that this program is loaded with blessings. So get a friend and come on along and join us here on God's Great Outdoors.
Saturday morning at 6:05 here at WWIB. Join us for God's Great Outdoors.
Hi, this is Steve Snyder. My favorite reading was a collection of books describing the outdoor adventures surrounding early American history, along with a healthy dose of Mark Twain's Adventures of Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn.
Find a new book and win prizes during WWIB's Summer Reading Challenge presented by Northwestern Bank. Just go to WWIB.com and print off the form. Then read 5 books of your choice. Have mom or dad sign your form, then bring it to Cherry Berry Frozen Yogurt in Eau Claire for a cool kid's cup of Froyo. Or bring it to Sammy's Pizza for a free kid's pizza and pop. Open to kids 12 and under. 1 certificate per sponsor, please. Find the Summer Reading Challenge banner at WWIB.com.
We've built walls nobody can get through. Yeah, it may be hard, but the best thing we could ever do, bring your brokenness and I'll bring mine, 'cause love can heal what hurt divides, and mercy's waiting on the other side. If we're honest.
Front page, WWIB. We're trying to take off our masks. And even as we do, talking with Ed Ramsey on the 45th anniversary of a day he was shot as a playground attendant in Virginia. And thank God he spared your life and all the people that you've been able to help over the years. And also a bright young author is online, Aubrey Sampson. Her terrific new book, every lady listening needs to get this. It's Overcomer, Breaking Down the Walls of Shame and Rebuilding. We can provide some free copies to some of you. Email me your address, mark@wib.com. But I'm just thinking about, you know, Jesus with the Pharisees. I mean, wasn't he saying basically this message? Take off your masks, guys. Mm. I often picture the Pharisees as guys, but take off your masks, ladies. I mean, let's be real. Allow me to come in. I'm the great physician. Let me touch you where it really hurts, not on the outside, but deep down. What are you angry about? I think you're angry about something more than just the Republican establishment, you know? And in his great book, Cry of the Soul, Dan Allender says, your emotions say much more about your relationship vertical with God than the horizontal. Fundamentally, let me say with all due respect, I think if you're filled with political anger, I think you're fundamentally, your anger first and foremost is with God. How about that? Why did God allow this to happen, right? We got to take it up with him. Anyhow, we've got an anonymous caller on the line today, and let's go to this caller in Chippewa Falls. Hi.
Hi, thank you for having this program. I just have to say it's amazing that I'm hearing this. I just started going to Al-Anon, and I was just wondering how I could get this book because I think I would really benefit from it.
Yeah. Well,
almost 40 years old, and I'm finally realizing that I do have the time now to go through my emotional issues from my childhood. So.
Mm-hmm. And would you be willing to share, like, what are those? What did you experience?
Similar to what the author
Aubrey
had mentioned,
mm-hmm.
Aubrey, I had an alcoholic father. I was led to believe horrible things that my father had done to me my whole life, and counselors had actually had also told me that those things had happened based off the things that I said, although they weren't true. So I grew up believing those things, being lied about and kept from my father, but then forced to go on visitation, and he was an alcoholic. And so just every time something happens in my life, I realize that you have codependency and it's affect every area of my life, and it's just, I can't do it anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I'd be glad to get your address and see to it that you get one of the copies. You've been brave enough to call and share, but Aubrey, would you be willing to speak to our caller?
Yeah, I just, again, want to say how proud I am for your courage. I think that the fact that you're finally willing to take care of yourself in such a profound way by getting help and by going through those emotional things from your childhood. First of all, I'm so sorry that you've had that experience, but I believe you can overcome. I know you can find healing and freedom. I just believe that for you, even if you don't believe it for yourself. And I think the place of weakness, that place of brokenness, that is where we become most strong and we see God bring the most healing. So good for you. I will be praying for you as you read. Thank you.
All right. Hold the line, caller. We'll get your address here. at WWIB. And if you want to call and interact with us about this subject of shame and overcomer, Aubrey Sampson's terrific new book, Breaking Down the Walls of Shame and Rebuilding Your Soul, 723-2555, 1-800-657-4769. You can email Mark at WWIB.com. Caregivers, the Classic at Hillcrest Greens invites you to the Memory Table, a monthly event just for you. You'll be educated and empowered through presentations and conversation with other caregivers. The next meeting is April 15th from 10 to noon, and lunch will be served. Call 715-839-0200 or go to theclassichg.com. And Marco, your authorized Canon HB Konica Minolta dealer. All right, front page on WWIB. Aubrey, let's dig a little bit more into the contents of the book. Because you talk about, you know, you've got not only your story, but various other stories as well in this book. But you begin with the idea of let the demolition begin, and then you go from there. Give us kind of an overview of the journey you take women on.
Yeah, you know, I talk about seven lies of shame in the book, and the first lie is that I will have more value if I am other than who I am. And that goes back to what we were talking about in the break, that image we create for ourselves that we feel like we have to live up to. And I think for women, that's especially powerful because we also have these images portrayed in the media that we feel like we have to live up to on top of the ones we're, you know, putting on ourselves. I talk about the lie that we can never experience freedom from shame. I talk about the lie that our pasts are unsalvageable. I talk about the lie that we have to fight shame alone, that we're not good enough to be used by God if we experience shame. I also talk about the lie that shame only happens in trauma, because we've been talking about some traumatic things, mm-hmm. but the truth is we all experience shame in our daily lives. You know, mm. you experience shame at work sometimes. You experience shame in your mothering. You experience shame at the gym. And the whole book really is about how God sets us free from shame and how, you know, even if we have had the darkest of experiences, when we look to him, we can rise from that darkness, we can shed that darkness, and we can live in his radiance and in his light.
But, you know, talk about the fall. I mean, the Bible, biblically, I mean, Genesis 3:7, it talks about shame entering in right away from the get-go. And so that is like putting out the fire, I guess, and that's why your book. And that's just kind of a helpful overview, and a lot more we want to try to unpack in the next hour and 20 minutes, 20 minutes here on WIB and WIB.com, and after 11 on WOGO. But Ed Ramsey, for your story, I mean, there's a reason we asked you in today, even apart from Aubrey, is this 45 years ago today, you say you came to do the playground duty there, and you were about, what, 24 years old?
24 as a junior in college.
All right, so you're a junior in college. It's Virginia, but you go home in a wheelchair. I mean, Ed, what happened, and how does that tie into shame?
Well, here again, I went to work, and I was supervising playground, and we're getting ready to go home, and I was standing in front of the center and talking with some of the kids, and this guy walks down the street and says, "Get off my street," and pulls out a gun and starts shooting. And I was a combat MP in the Marine Corps, and I was trained to air base at Da Nang, air base security. So my normal response was to try to deal with it. And so I was really wanted to negotiate with him. I didn't want anybody to get hurt. And first thing he did was hit me in the head and caused a depressed skull fracture. And when I got one after him to get the gun, he had one round left. He shot me right under the collarbone. It severed the carotid artery right at the subclavian. By the way, that's a fatal illness. There's no fatal accident. I shouldn't be here. And always, the only reason I'm still here is because God's got enough trouble up there.
Yeah, right.
No, it's called grace. And, yeah. You know, he knew exactly what he was doing. It took me a while to figure it out. And I immediately figured out what the problem was. Problem is, I was stupid for letting that happen to me.
How do you mean?
Well, you know, I'd always been told growing up that I would never amount to anything, and I wasn't worth it, and I wasn't worth caring about. So I immediately went to default mode and blamed myself.
It was an alcoholic, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And I also was angry at God. I'd somehow got the message growing up Southern Baptist that God was going to get you, and I thought, see, they're right about that so-and-so, too.
Mm-hmm.
As you've heard me tell this before, as I've come to understand, he was trying to get my attention. Once I figured that out, it worked.
Mm-hmm.
Can I tell my farmer's mule story?
Can you tell it?
Yeah.
If you want to, go ahead.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's me, and it has to do with I think what God has to do. I have a concept called God's awful grace.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes God's grace comes through pain and pleasure, and if I use the grace that comes through pain as an opportunity to heal and grow and connect with Him, then it becomes a good thing instead of a negative thing. It becomes an opportunity. So that's what I've had to learn to do. Anyway, there was a story about this farmer, and he had a mule, and he's always bragging about the mule. It's the best mule in the county. It's the finest mule in the county. Hardest working mule you'd ever see. It on and on he'd go. And finally one day, some guy said, "Would you shut up? I want to see this mule." Farmer said, "No problem." They got in his truck, drove out the farm. He says, he's right out in the field. On the way through the barn, farmer picks up a 2x4. And he walks out and he says, "There's the mule." Guy said, "It don't look that great to me." Farmer said, "Watch this." And he walks over and he takes a 2x4, rears back, wham, hits the mule right between the eye. Guy said, "What'd you do that for?" Farmer said, "He's a good mule, but you got to get his attention first."
Ouch, ouch. That's a painful story every time I hear it. And so you're telling me in terms of the idea of God's grace, we believe all the time, and yet you talk about horrors like some of the stuff that Aubrey shared, or you being shot, or stories that almost every listener could call and share. You're saying you over the years have been able to see God's grace even in the awful circumstances of being shot and almost killed? And really, even in terms of you'd been an athlete. I mean, how you were significantly impacted. I mean, those athletic pursuits were no longer the same, were they?
That's true. I'd always wanted to be a coach. And so what I ended up was, instead of coaching sports, I ended up coaching people's lives. And maybe in the scheme of things, that's not such
sure.
a bad deal.
No, I hear you. But what about, as we get this before we go to break, Ed, I mean, just the idea of that. I mean, how did that affect... did that trigger alcoholism in your life? Or because how did you view yourself as you no longer had the same strength or capabilities?
Well, I had a problem at the time. I consider myself a recovering alcoholic, and I was a heavy drinker, and I never drank like earth people. You know, those are people who drink a couple beers and go home. I never understood those folks.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway... But what did happen after that was I didn't know anything about brains or brain damage or anything. I just knew that alcohol would make it worse. And I remember thinking, I don't know where I'm going to end up, but if I can't make it better, then I'm not going to do anything to make it worse. So at that point, I started cutting back on my drinking. And eventually, I got a job working in the field with street drunks and learning about this addiction. And I started to say, that's me. And that's when I made a commitment to abstinence and recovery, and it's worked a lot better for me.
More than 40 years of sobriety and involvement with Alcoholics Anonymous, and you'd recommend it to others, whether AA or Al-Anon for people that are listening, right?
Sure. I want to share this with you. I was at a workshop on shame once, and the person said, what shame does to us, if you'd look at us as a whole person, by the way, that's where the word holy comes from,
mm-hmm.
being a whole person.
Mm-hmm.
The shame splits us right down the middle. And on one side is what I call my true self, my, for lack of a better term, good piece. And on the other side is my wounded shame self. And that's the addictive piece. And when that part's running my life, it's not very pretty.
Mm.
When my true self is in charge and I'm having God help me do what I need to do, it works a lot better.
Yeah.
And I think what this is about is not necessarily getting rid of that wounded piece. That part of us helps us stay honest, and that reinforces that we're not God. Now, if you've ever thought about it, Adam and Eve were thrown out of the garden, and Satan was thrown out of heaven because they wanted to play God. They wanted to be God.
Mm.
And I think it's important for us to understand that maybe not being God's a good thing. As I've heard, the main thing in life is not to be afraid to be human.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
And so that's significant.
Ed Ramsey with us on that significant 45th anniversary, 45 years after he survived that bullet that in many instances would have and maybe was supposed to take his life, and it didn't. And we thank God for that. But Aubrey Sampson as well, we're going to dig more specifically in our final segment coming up into her book, Overcomer, Breaking Down the Walls of Shame and Rebuilding Your Soul. Aubrey says, Christian women have allowed shame to condemn and confine them for far too long. And she says, if you're ready to turn things around, then she invites you to become an unashamed woman. We're hearing from listeners like Donna, who says, this book sounds amazing and very helpful. I can relate to these stories. Thanks for airing this. And we've invited Donna to share your address with us, and we'll mail you a copy. One more segment to go here on Wib and more after 11 on WOGO. 723-2555 or email mark@wib.com.
Something that you're not living life afraid of getting caught. There is freedom found when we lay our secrets down at the cross, at the cross. So bring your brokenness and I'll bring mine, 'cause love can heal what hurt divides, and mercy's waiting on the other side. If we're
can you believe it? Only a few more weeks of summer break. Time to live it up, play harder, sleep later, and save even bigger at the Peebles Back to School Sale. Right now, get 40 to 50% off the latest looks for kids, juniors, and young men. And for yourself, take 30% off new styles for her. Plus, get extra savings online or by downloading our app. It's your Back to School Sale, going on now at Peebles, part of our stage family. Exclusions apply.
Style inspired by you.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to goodclearwater.com. That's goodclearwater.com.
With Dutch Boy Platinum Paint with stain resistance, you can keep your walls looking like new. It's like you've never splattered ketchup on them, or mustard, or tea, or coffee. Because that's just how good Dutch Boy Platinum Paint and Primer is. Common household stains wipe away with a sponge, leaving a fresh, clean wall with no evidence that a stain ever existed. It's why Menards and Dutch Boy make transforming your world easy. Visit your local Menards today and pick up Dutch Boy Platinum Paint and Primer. Go Dutch.
Francesca Battistelli, if we're honest, front page, WWIB. 10 more minutes in hour one of our daily live local talk from Stewards of Sound Incorporated. Talking with Aubrey Sampson about her terrific new book, Overcomer, Breaking Down the Walls of Shame and Rebuilding Your Soul. Aubrey, you and Ed have been sharing the interview with me, and you've just met him for the first time. You've heard some of his gold nuggets that have helped him, but also that he's used in helping many others deal with addictions and shame and those kinds of things. He's got some good truths, good observations and insights, doesn't he?
Absolutely. I was just thinking over the break, I think the powerful thing about your experience, Ed, and although a completely different story, similar to mine, not that you would want anyone to go through what you've been through, but the truth is because of what you've been through, you know, God's grace has really transformed it so that you've been able to really kind of dig down and find your true self. You've been able to live in sobriety for, what did you say, over 40
yeah,
years
right,
now?
Yeah.
And the fact that you've been able to help others. I think that to me is the most powerful thing about God's grace in the midst of shame, that somehow he uses these really dark experiences to bring light into our life and then to help us minister to other people. You know, I just think that's powerful. So thank you for sharing your story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I want to comment that I learned this from Mark, that oftentimes God breaks us before he can use us. And I think that's grace is what I call it.
Well, that was a line on this show a few years back, that particular comment was the trigger for the Brothers in Brokenness title, where the Brent March, the producer on the faith-based movie Not Today, which was about human trafficking, and he made the line that God will not completely use you until you're completely broken. And I was like, well, immediately I thought, I think my wife's more broken than I am. And so I at least know there's further work to go. So humility and brokenness. And Isaiah 66, 2b is a defining verse for us guys who meet on Saturday mornings, Aubrey. And it says, God says, this is the one that I esteem. He was humble and contrite in spirit and who trembles at my word. So, and contrite in spirit means powdery brokenness. So why not? But we've got more to get to. Certainly after 11 on WOGO, we're getting more people who are saying, you know what, I'd love a copy of that book if you've got one. So, but you talk about seven lies in particular, and we're going to just start maybe with the first one. We'll unpack more of that in hour two on WOGO. But what is the first lie as it pertains to shame that you want your readers, particularly women, to be able to overcome?
Yeah, the first lie is that we have to be other than who we are. Because the reality is that God has created you specifically to be a unique and living reflection of Him. And the lie that women often believe and we're often told is that we have to be something different, whether it's hiding our aging faces or hiding our changing bodies or hiding the things in our past, that somehow we have to live up to this image that really is not the image that God has created us in. And so the lie that I want women to be able to overcome is that they have to be something other than who God created them to be. And so part of the book is kind of digging down and releasing some of those lies and learning what it is to repair the foundations of those lies, or learning what it is to live truly in that image of God that women have been created to be.
Huh. And you talk about that in chapter two, right, when the pressure to have it all and balance it all while looking like the end all is turning you into a mess. And you tell the story of a young woman, Zanna, overcoming the shame of perfect appearance.
Yeah, Zanna is a friend of mine who for years felt like she needed to have, you know, high fashion and she needed to have these great parties. And she began to realize that part of that was because as a little girl, her dad would often say to her very blatant, evil things like, you are ugly, you are fat, you are unworthy. And shame had taken up residence in her heart. And so she began, like we had talked about before, just pursuing these things that aren't necessarily bad. I mean, there's nothing really wrong with wanting to feel beautiful and look beautiful and have great parties. But for her, it was really twisted and really toxic because her entire identity was in those things. And she began to just focus on, you know, her appearance and what she's going to wear and what she's going to look like and who she's going to run into to today. At such a you know, such a heavy level that it began to overtake everything about who she actually is. And over the years, she began to fill up her heart with God and with Jesus and with talking about those things out loud. And soon she began to understand that what was going on in her heart was more important than these outer things. And I think her story is a really powerful one.
Aubrey Sampson and her book, Overcomer. Somebody just emailing saying, what's the name of the book? It's called Overcomer, Breaking Down the Walls of Shame and Rebuilding Your Soul. But find it on Amazon and elsewhere. It's called Overcomer. What about what she said? Ed, I mean, we know for women and the focus on outward appearance, and I think most often for guys, nowhere near as much of that. But does it translate some in terms of you know, physical ability or strength or things like that, and how has that impacted for you in terms of your accident that you were no longer the same, and how have you come to not live under shame from that, Ed?
Well, most of my identity was around my physical ability, and when that was gone, I didn't have any sense of who I was. I had to start working above the neck instead of below the neck, mm-hmm. and then that's when I knew I was really in trouble.
Mm.
But what I
joke,
had to
joke.
Learn was
okay.
that
yeah.
that's important too. Yeah,
yeah. yeah.
That I was in school and I was trying to learn, and I've more and more seen that maybe it's okay. I happen to believe that our greatest challenge as human beings is learning how to be okay around not being okay,
mm-hmm.
and And the way we do that is have resources that can help us and validate us as okay in spite of what's happened to us and what we can't do and our limitations and our powerlessness and things of that nature.
All right, let me just, in the final 2 minutes, Aubrey and Ed, ask you to hang in because 7 minutes from now we're going to pick up the conversation at 11:05 on FM 103.1 AM 680 at wogo.com. But here's what people are saying. A listener in Rothschild over in the Wausau area says, I'm listening to your show right now with the author of the book. Yes, it's called Overcomer, Breaking Down the Walls of Shame and Rebuilding Your Soul. And Joan says, I have a niece who I suspect urgently needs the information contained therein. Want to preview before sharing with her. Hope you can send me a copy to eventually share with her. But we'll do what we can, and we've got only so many copies, but we'll sort through. We're getting a number of requests. Corey says, deep stuff. Could I get a free copy? Corey, we need your address. Donna has sent an address in Elk Mound. And I'll close with this one from a listener, Jody, who says, my husband just told me that he got in his car and looked at the radio and thought it was on 103.7 and then realized it was the time, but felt that the need to switch over to WWIB and told me that you're talking about a book to do with believing lies about your father and breaking down the walls of shame. We were talking about grace and forgiveness in our Bible study last night, and one of the things I shared is that we need to be very careful where our bitterness towards others comes from. Sometimes it's lies that we've been told about them, and we waste many years of what could have been a great relationship because of those lies. She, too, wants to know, what is the name of the book? We'll say it one more time. Overcomer, Breaking Down the Walls of Shame and Rebuilding Your Soul. We've got a lot more to get to. What's that? Spell it. Yeah, Overcomer.
The preceding A Best Of Front Page from Thursday, April 7th of this year here on WWIB. Hallie Eau Claire, Chippewa Falls. You may have heard a time or two of reference in this pre-recorded program to a second hour. We're not pursuing that. Instead, in the next hour, the first of 2 hours on this Thursday during the Democratic Convention with Dennis Prager on FM 103.1 AM 680 and WOGO.com. Thanks so much for listening. The preceding sponsored by your support of WWIB Incorporated. Check out our July gift offers online at WIB.com, where, as always, you can give safely and securely to our nonprofit corporation.